This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mitch, please.
All right, guys, this one comes to us from Patriots coverage on NBC Sports in Boston. Hosts Michael Holly and Greg Bedard got into a heated debate yesterday on who's more at fault for the New England Patriots' recent three-game slide.
The biggest problem is fill in the blank. Who?
It's got to be Jerod Mayo. I mean, he's the head coach. He's in charge of everything. He tells the offensive coordinator, or should be, this is what I want to do. I want to tell the team, we're going to go into this. We need to grab a lead against San Francisco. The defense, his baby, they're getting gashed all over the place, and it's not just because they're outmanned. They're being out-schemed.
Jerod Mayo is in that line, but I think it starts with Elliot Wolf. Come on.
No,
like,
This team is not that bad. If you brought Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, what is wrong with you? Those guys, I could tell you, would be doing way more with this team than these guys.
What's his name?
DeMontre Jacobs.
And what do you know about him? What do you like about him? What do you see on film about him?
Okay. He's big and long.
He sucks. They've had four left tackles in 4 weeks. They got Mike.
Don't scheme around it. Oh, a lot of teams are going through
that.
This stuff.
You can't scheme around. They came into the season without a left tackle. A professional football team. You want to talk about unprofessional?
Seahawks are on their third right tackle.
The front office is unprofessional, 4-0. Too. They didn't have a left tackle. They didn't have a number
Prime
one wide
Rivers,
receiver.
The NFL.
And they got a backup quarterback. The three most important positions, they got jokes at those positions. That's the problem. That's the number one problem.
They're 3-1, the Seahawks are. Who did you agree with there? That was good stuff. Audio courtesy of what now, Mitch?
That is Patriots coverage, a show on NBC Sports Boston.
Awesome. And that was Michael Holly.
Sound like you and me.
Greg Bedard,
yes.
Yeah.
Michael Holly,
I read his
native.
Book. Oh, yeah. Really? I read his book.
He's been on the show.
Yeah, he has been on the show. That was some good stuff. Who do you agree with? Do you believe that problem over there, is that a problem with the roster, or is that a problem with the coach?
It's the roster. Come on.
Hey, it might be a problem with the coach.
Really? So yeah, we're going to get into an argument.
Well, I mean,
We've been hearing a bunch of stuff.
Did you understand that they had to start OTAs late because their coaching staff wasn't ready? So they had to push back OTAs?
So whose fault was that?
Was it Elliot Wolf's? Or was it the coaching staff? Were they doing that? I mean, whose fault is it?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just look at it from
the standpoint
of... I
don't think they're a great team.
Yeah, talent-wise.
But I think they're only in the beginning of this build. Because it was Bill Belichick before, am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't think there should be like some humongous expectations.
Yeah, but we're on the outside, so we go, there's no expectations. They're right there, and they're looking at 1-3. So when we're all getting worked up about 1-3, well, we actually had some expectations. Or did we? Because, again, the outside forces said that, no, you guys ain't going to be that good anyway. It's like, well, we were 11-6 last year. What are you talking about? Yeah, but who are you 11-6 with? I don't know. The starting quarterback that we have now was, I mean, they say he was 5-1, but I say he was 4-1. I know he started the game against Indianapolis, but that was a quick exit, was it not? They were still 4-1 with the guy. But we look at all this stuff differently there. They look at their situation much differently than we would. They're right there in the thick of it. And to them, 1-3 is unacceptable. To us, 1-3, I mean, that has to be unacceptable. That is just it. I mean, right now we are staring down the barrel.
I assume they were going to be. Yeah. Well, I agree. I totally agree with you.
Hey, man, you can be 2-4 and fight it out. You're 1-4. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think the walls start to close in on you. That building, it's really weird at 1-4.
We know how it is. Absolutely. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter anything. Like, you know, we talk about it here in Cleveland, like 2-time coach of the year. That stuff does not matter to Jimmy Haslam if they start a tailspin.
Well, he wants this. No one's going to believe this. People have had conversations before about wanting to fire the coach. He hasn't. Fans have called in about wanting to fire the coach before. Out of now his fifth year, he's missed the playoffs two out of those 4 years. People want more. People are very critical of him. They've had to let go of staff after making the playoffs. I don't think he wants to move on from that front office or that head coach. But things change over time. I mean, already I'm getting these things from these Facebook posts about, well, has the time run out on Kevin Stefanski? I'm like, really? We're a month into this thing? He was the defending coach of the year?
That's like nothing else.
And people say that's last year.
None of the other 4 years matter all of a sudden. But, like the two incredible jobs he did, all the stuff they dealt with when it comes to adversity. The universal praise he got from around the NFL.
Doesn't
matter. The stuff he did with other quarterbacks.
Doesn't matter. And if I make the argument, if you keep losing games, and I make the argument, well, if you were to fire Kevin Stefanski, he'll be hired in 5 minutes.
I think a lot of
people would line up and say, okay, good, let him be someone else's problem.
I think there are people who would love to line up and say that right now. Yes.
That's what you deal with. And that's what they're dealing with in New England there. Today is the last day of our boss's tenure here, Andy Roth.
The guy that brought us in.
Going down to Atlanta. I don't do goodbyes very well whatsoever. It's a weakness for me. I will say Andy has been a great boss. Atlanta is getting Atlanta is very lucky to get a good program director like him. He's been a great boss. He's been a great person. And from my personal perspective, guys, I would not have a chance to talk to you at all any morning, any day, and I would probably be in a job that I hate had he not seen any chance in me 13 years ago. So. A big piece of my personal history is leaving the station today, but Andy is a wonderful man, and we love Andy a lot, and we love his family, and we wish him very well down in the city of Atlanta.
Well, I echo those sentiments perfectly. When this station started, people forget, if you're young, there was one sports talk station in town, and they did it one way, and people were like, well, you can't. Cleveland doesn't need a second sports station, doesn't need anything like that. Do you know how hard it is to get something made from scratch to then become basically the standard bearer in a town? And we've been on the air for 13 years, and this thing has been humming for a long time, and it's not easy. It's not easy to do. And Andy was somebody who was doing this for a time in Buffalo, and he had been all over the place, but he was determined. He wasn't from here. You know how hard that is? And to understand what Clevelanders want. And to have that happen, and I think in short order, like he'll say it took a lot of time. I think this station was humming pretty quickly, and it's a testament to him because he was a visionary. Yeah. Despite the amount of times I feuded with him.
Which was often.
And the fact that he hung up on me our very first phone call when I was in Syracuse trying to get this job.
Well, because you led him astray. We don't need to get into that. Oh, you got anything to say?
I'll tell him later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey. You don't got to say it on the air. I know.
Well, he's the reason that I get to be on the radio.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but people hear...
Like the sole reason, and I'm going to miss him.
Yeah, man. I mean, people hear the voices on the air. They always think, oh, the sports talk show hosts. Those are the guys that make a station. They're responsible for it. But he's the guy that made this station sound the way it does.
Yeah. So it's a dream. I don't work for a living. I'm up for a lot of hours, but it's not work, and I get to live it because he saw something in me a lot of other people didn't. So.
And now we're going to critique this segment for 40 minutes after the show.
Yeah, probably. I mean, see, anyway, he's not done now. Today is his last day, meaning he's going to coach right up to the end. It'd be like if they let the coach, when they go on to another team, if they let the coach the bowl game. Is this how it feels if they do that? Find out during the emerging podcast scene coming up after the show.
Maybe he'll come on with us. He has some more stories. I'll tell you that.
Oh, gosh. No, he can't come on there.
No, he can't come on the emerging podcast scene.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.